On Sunday, the 10th of June, the 50th International Eucharistic Congress in Dublin opens its doors to the faithful, many of whom have travelled across the globe to participate. At the heart of the Congress, which takes place every 4 years, is the daily celebration of the Eucharist. So what better date to choose for its inauguration than the date we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, which commemorates the institution of the Holy Eucharist. The Congress programme also includes other liturgical events, cultural events, catechesis, testimonies and workshops, aiming to promote an awareness of the central place of the Eucharist in the life and mission of the Catholic Church, as well as help improve our understanding and celebration of the liturgy, and draw attention to the social dimension of the Eucharist. Emma McCarthy, who is in Dublin attending the Congress for Vatican Radio, agreed to chat to me briefly before she set off and told me about the run-up to the event and also about her own expectations. Hello, Emma. Thank you for agreeing to speak to me about the upcoming Congress just before you set off. Are you excited to be going, first of all?
Well, yes, I am. Of course, I'm going home because being an Irish person, this really is a homecoming for us. And it's very exciting, the idea that we're going to celebrate not only in the Irish church, but we're also going to have thousands of people from other countries coming to celebrate with us, which will be a first in a long time for the people of Ireland.
Have you any idea of how many people so far, as the Congress starts, have registered?
Well, the last count on registration was anywhere upwards towards 70,000 people, but that's not including the foreign pilgrims, who are between 7,000 and 12,000. And of course, as the organiser said, Father Kevin Doran, Irish people tend to leave things to the last minute. So we'll have to take it a day-to-day basis, and we're hoping that as the week unfolds, more and more people will be encouraged to come.
You say the Irish leave it till the last moment, but my impression is that it's extremely well organised.
Yes, well, the organisation has been ongoing for 2 years, four actually, if we're going to be honest, because it was 4 years ago that Benedict XVI announced at the last Congress in Quebec that he had chosen Dublin as the location for this, the 50th Congress. So Archbishop Martin and his very close team of collaborators have really been working very, very hard. And what's most interesting about this Congress, it's the first time I can remember that I've seen such a large participation of the laity in Ireland, who tend to be not lazy, but they're always a bit backward about being concretely involved in the church life. This time, however, I have to say the pastoral programme was prepared and was put into practice completely by a very dedicated, very passionate group of lay people. Colette Furlong was the lady who actually went around the country to tell people about the pastoral programme, who drew it up and who taught people about it. Herself and her staff have been doing amazing work. So yes, it's been a long time coming, and I really can't wait for it to open up and begin.
Could this be because the church in Ireland is going through a difficult moment and the people feel the need to really do something constructive to start a renewal?
Absolutely. I mean, in his letter to Irish Catholics in 2010, Pope Benedict wrote that he hoped the Congress would be part of the process of renewal for the church in Ireland, which has been lacerated by the tragedy of the abuse scandal of minors by members of the same church. He said it's not a solution, but what he wanted to do was gather the Irish church around what is the central focus of our faith, the Eucharist, the presence of the risen Christ in our midst, and from there draw the strength to really sit down, meditate and reflect on where we're going as a church. The Holy Father, I think, has a very specific aim for this Congress, and that is to bring people back to the simple tenets of the faith, to go beyond the newspaper headlines, to go beyond all criticism, and really come back to think about why we are a church, what we believe in, why we believe in it, and to gather strength from being together. But not only, the organisers also wanted this Congress to go beyond just the simple church in Ireland. And they've organised opening up the churches in the city centre of Dublin. Dublin is the largest populous centre in Ireland. And it is also, shall we say, the most secularised part of Ireland. So the organisers decided, well, we can't just be ourselves, the church closed in on ourselves. We have to, if we are going to be a church, open out to wider society. So the idea is these churches will be open during the evenings as people leave their offices, as people leave their homes, as they go shopping. And there will be people on the streets who will invite the general public to come in for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, to learn a little bit more about why we are Catholics what we believe in. And I think that that's also a very important part of bringing the Congress, bringing the church onto the streets of the city.
Obviously, at the centre of the Congress is the celebration of the Eucharist. And I understand that there'll be a liturgy every day, but there are a lot of other events organised as well. What do you think you will be witnessing? What will you participate in?
Well, I can't get to everything because there's so much going on. There really is. It's a week-long Congress, opening with the Mass Sunday. And then Monday to Friday, each day has a theme. Monday is our communion in our common baptism. So the focus is ecumenism. And we have representatives and indeed some leaders of the other Christian churches in Ireland who will be attending and giving key talks there, but also from around the world. Brother Alois from the Teze community, Archbishop Michael Jackson, who of course is the Archbishop, the Anglican Archbishop of Dublin, Metropolitan Hilarion, and many, many other speakers. That'll be very interesting. It's the first time a Eucharistic Congress has actually had an ecumenical emphasis. Tuesday is the family, so we'll have people from the Irish Church who are involved in pastoral work and outreach to families, but not only from the Irish Church. Wednesday is a very important day because it's a day focused on vocations and specifically vocations to the priesthood. We know vocations have fallen in Ireland, not just in Ireland, but in other Western countries. So it's looking at the idea of the mystery of the Eucharist in the life of priests. And it won't just be priests talking on Wednesday. It'll also be people talking about how we need to encourage vocations, how we need to take care of our priests, and on the dialogue between the priest and his parish community. Thursday is probably the day that's going to draw most media attention because Thursday is a day that's going to focus on reconciliation and renewal. Now, the day will have speakers such as Cardinal Turkson from the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. It will have Cardinal Sean Brady, who is the Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop of Armagh. It will also have a young man who was blinded by a bullet during the unrest in Northern Ireland in the 80s and 90s, in the last century, who's going to speak about his journey of reconciliation and renewal. He actually sought out the man, the British soldier, who had shot him and blinded him. And he speaks about that journey, which is, I think, is going to be a very moving and powerful testimony. But during that day, we're also going to have a liturgy of reconciliation. Some of the texts that are going to be read during that liturgy will have been written by survivors of child abuse within the church in Ireland, those who want to take part. And there will also be a space given to workshops and talks on the scourge and the scandal of sexual abuse of minors and indeed of people within the church by members of the church, and of safeguarding practices within the church, not only in Ireland, but in other churches, to make sure this never happens again. So that will probably be a day that will draw an awful lot of media attention. Friday instead will have perhaps less media attention, but I think it's going to be one of the most moving days because Friday is focusing on suffering, so the sick, about bringing Christ and the Eucharist to those who are really going through perhaps the most difficult time in their life. We're going to see masses being celebrated in hospices throughout Ireland. We're going to have live links at some of these hospices, so where people are being cared for, terminally ill people are being cared for who can't come to the Congress, to make them a part, to make them know that we haven't forgotten them, and also to emphasise to lay Catholics, lay Christians and people in general that these people who are suffering should be our priority in society. They're not on the sidelines, they're not to be forgotten, but they're very central. If we believe in communion, then they should be a very central part of our communion. And then Saturday, which will be the last day of the Congress, we will have the conclusions and, of course, that great closing mass, the Statio Orbis, which will see, we hope, up to 80,000 people gathered into one of Ireland's biggest stadiums. And we hope to have a message from Pope Benedict XVI, closing off the week of prayer and reflection. I really do hope it's going to be a great week because Ireland really needs it at the moment. And I think we need something to lift us up, and this could be the occasion.
Well, we look forward to hearing from you throughout the week. And just let's remind our listeners to tune in every day because you will be with us with the latest.
Indeed, from Dublin.
From Dublin. Thank you, Eimear.
Thank you, Linda.